Welcome to the Soap video series from Oak Tree Community Church in South Bend, Indiana. I'm Daniel, this is Gary, and we are bringing along a new book.
Brand new book.
John.
It's always awesome to start a new book, isn't it? It's all clean.
Yep. No markings, anything going on in there. Yeah.
And I will say, when we started, doing John, okay, we got to study and read it. I was under the impression that this would be a breeze, right? I've read John many times.
Many times.
I studied it many times. It's not.
There's a ton of
stuff. It's especially, how thick it is.
Yeah, especially in chapter one.
But yeah, exactly. And so you may have read John many times. Take it seriously.
Yeah, don't gloss
there's
over.
There's more to learn.
Yeah, don't read fast just because you're familiar with it.
Actually. I know Nicodemus came. Put some thought into it. Yeah. All right. So 10 weeks, Gospel of John. John is one of the four Gospels or letters that was written that had the birth, life, death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. John's Gospel is different than Matthew, Mark, and Luke.
Yeah.
First John's was written much later.
Yeah.
30 to 50 years after these other guys.
Right.
Second, John seems to focus on different areas. And we don't know why, but my guess is Matthew, Mark, and Luke focused on what they focused on. John's like, these are established. These have been out there 30 to 50 years. I'm going to write about this. Take a different direction.
Yeah.
And it's not 180 degrees different.
Well, no. I mean, it's still the same. Yeah. same life story. Right. It's interesting that each one of the four had a specific audience in mind. Right. And because they had a specific audience, they also came with a specific agenda. Yeah.
Right.
Not like they were, hiding things or, telling different stories, like you said. But, Matthew wrote to the Jewish people. So he wrote with a Jewish focus, focused on specific Jewish events. Right. That John is writing to unbelievers, like you said, 50 years later than Matthew. It's like, okay, all the world, there are certain things I don't have to focus on, certain language I don't have to bring out, that sort of thing.
Right. So the purpose of John's gospel, I said, was to present Jesus to the world as the eternal Son of God, which I copied, out of because that's what John says. And you had an add to it.
Yeah, right? Because John is one of the few books in the Bible that actually tells us this is why I'm writing to you. First John is another one. There's a purpose to it. And there are some. But you have to fast forward all the way to the end of the book, almost to the end, chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. Now, Jesus performed many other miraculous signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not recorded in this book, and we'll see that in chapter 2 this week.
Right.
But these are recorded so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, which is the presentation of the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So this is the only evangelistic book in the Bible. It is written not for people who are already in, whether it's Jews or Christians or whatever, but written so that people who are not in can get in.
Right.
So he's presenting Jesus as the eternal Son of God, but for the purpose that people can believe and be saved.
Right. So it's really funny because me reading through it, you hit on a couple early on where these are evangelistic passages.
Yeah.
I wonder how many there are.
Yeah.
So I thought it'd be fun if we tried to point them out
to people.
I'm sure we're going to miss some from the standpoint of we just don't have time.
Yeah.
Right. And gloss over. But when we can, we'll point them out.
Big obvious ones that we'll run into.
Chapter 3, verse 16.
Yeah, maybe we've heard of it.
Yeah. but also in this gospel, we'll see things that aren't in the other gospels, like you were saying.
Yeah.
What did Jesus do before he actually was Jesus on this earth? The I am statements.
Yeah.
There's a number. His prayer in the garden.
Yeah.
There's a whole ton of them. The restoration of Peter.
Yeah.
So those are going to be those are going to be here too. So kind of cool thing.
Yeah. So John said, he wrote these specific signs. So there are seven huge miracles that basically form the outline of the book. But then, you mentioned the I am statements. There's seven I am statements.
Right.
John seems to be
that makes us focus on him.
Yeah, because he's presenting Jesus as the Son of God. Right. And so he uses that phrase, the I am, that we've done Exodus in the past. God presented himself as the I am. And so Jesus capitalizes on that. He's me too. It's like that's who I am, right? I am God.
Right.
Right. So what's interesting about the book of John is that almost half of it, because you're talking about his life and his ministry and everything, almost half of this gospel is condensed into just the last week of Jesus' life. Like literally,
right,
chapter 12 through 20. There's only 21 chapters. So chapter 12 through 20 are the last week. And out of those chapters, five of them are the last few hours from Thursday night at the Passover meal through the garden.
Right.
I mean, it's real. John really zooms into.
Well, to so that means he needs to cut some things out.
There's a lot of stuff.
Because there is no childhood.
Don't you know? Right.
So let's get into it. Chapters one and two for this week. So in the beginning, right, the beginning of John is one of my favorite passages, verses 1 through 18. I remember when I first became a Christian, somebody said, go read John. So I started reading John, and I read verses 1 through 18, and I was totally lost. You know, first time through, brand new Christian, didn't get it at all.
Yeah, where's Jesus? You know, well, just like it doesn't need
John talks about Jesus the Word, name, right? And the Word was with God, and the Word was fully God. What's this Word thing? What's going on?
Yeah.
So I either figured it out, which in my mind, that's kind of what I'm remembering, but that seems to be a pretty big stretch for me. Or somebody told me that if you replace the Word with Jesus, it makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
So you need to read through verses 1 through 18 straight, but then go back again and replace the Word with Jesus. And here's what verse 1 sounds like. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was fully God.
Yeah.
I can understand that.
Yeah. Well, and it's not like we're, you know, changing the Bible or adding to the Bible. You get most of the way down here, and the word became flesh.
Right.
And
right. Dwelt it is Jesus.
Oh, okay. All right. So that's a Christmas verse. It's like we recognize that one. And then it actually introduces his name. You know, we find finally Jesus is in there toward the end of this introductory section.
Right? But I don't want to skip over it. Verse 1 tells us Jesus is God and was with God at the beginning. And he is fully God. I mean, those are just three huge points right out of the gate. Bam, bam, bam.
Yeah, we haven't gotten out of the one yet.
Right. Okay, we do see in the first chapter, verses 4 through 7, kind of around there, don't take it specifically, but John the Baptist portrays Jesus as the light, and in him was life. And then in verse 7, John the Baptist says he came as a witness to the light so that everyone might believe through him.
Yeah.
So we have maybe a little veiled there, but an evangelistic verse.
Yeah, it's still that idea so that you may believe, so you may believe, so you may believe. Right.
And then we see it more in verse 12 in chapter 1. But to all who have received him, those who believe in his name, a little different translation than I'm used to, so I always stumble over it, he has given the right to become God's children.
Yeah.
I mean, how cool is that?
And this is actually a really important definition, because there are some people say, oh, you need to receive Jesus. It's like, okay, I don't know what that means right. Exactly to receive Jesus. Well, John uses the term, you need to receive Jesus, and then he defines it. Right. Well, so what is receive Jesus? To believe in him.
Those who believe in his name.
Okay, so receiving him. When I believe in him, I am receiving this. Well, I don't know the receive. Well, that's where we get into, you know, it's a gift of God, you know, salvation and everything. Okay, so receiving means to believe in Jesus for salvation. Got it.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's defined for us in here.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
Right. So like we said, we jump past childhood, and John jumps into introducing us to John the Baptist. Interestingly enough, John does not refer to himself as John in the book of John.
The writer, the apostle, right? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. So when he says John, he's actually referring to John the Baptist.
Yeah.
That is way too confusing to me. So I am going to use John as the author and writer of this, and we're going to use John the Baptist as John the Baptist.
Okay.
When we go on. So John the Baptist had a big enough following that it caught the Jewish leaders' scent, right?
Let me say this just real quick, because there are some people who actually read the Baptist here and actually think of the denomination Baptist.
Oh.
Okay. Baptist is an old way of saying baptizer.
Right.
Right. So sometimes if you read or hear someone say John the Baptizer, that's actually in the Greek text. That's what the one who was baptizing. Right. It's how it says. So Baptist is not about a denomination. It's not about a local church. It's whatever. It's John the Baptizer. Right. So you can say Baptist, but just sometimes that question comes up. So just to clarify who we're talking about.
But would you say the Baptist denomination came out because of John the Baptist?
No.
Okay.
No. No, it's just that the King James Version of the Bible and the Geneva Version of the Bible were translated around the same time as the Anabaptists, and they were originally called Anabaptists, Anna being again, which actually shows up in John 3 when we get there next week, the whole born again thing.
Right.
The Greek word is Anna.
Okay.
And so the Anabaptists were a group of people who said, it doesn't matter if you were baptized as a baby, you need to be baptized again, which is where Anabaptist came from.
Okay.
And it just so happened to be around the same time these early English Bibles were being translated. And so Baptist was just part of the thing. John had nothing to do with the denomination, and the denomination had nothing to do with John.
Okay. All right.
Just happened to be the time of that it was being done.
Okay. You said you were going to keep it short, but I did ask questions.
Yeah.
So John the Baptist had a big enough following that the Jewish leaders sent priests really to understand what his ministry was all about.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Old Testament book, Malachi had predicted that Elijah would return to herald the day of the Lord, right?
Yep.
Which I kind of put in quotes because it's a big day.
Yeah, big
but,
title.
But when the Messiah would come, you know, the coming Messiah. So they asked him, are you Elijah or the prophet? And he said no to both of those. And they seemed to really be asking, like, are you telling me the Messiah is going to be coming here soon?
Yeah.
And John the Baptist replied no. And then they asked, okay, who are you?
Yeah.
And, you know, we're asking because, one, we're interested, but also people sent us here to ask us, you know, what your ministry is all about.
Yeah, so Elijah would come before the Messiah. Like,
and that was an understanding that the priests had, the Jewish leaders.
Yeah, right. No problem. And it's in there. The prophet here, are you the prophet? Well, that refers back to Moses. Moses said, there is a prophet coming like me. So basically they were asking, okay, if you're not Elijah, are you the Messiah? Are you the one that we're with? Nope, not. What's funny is that Jesus later on would say, well, had you accepted me, then yeah, John was doing the work of Elijah the prophet.
Right.
But you rejected me, so legitimately, no, he's, you know. But he would say, no, I'm not like a reincarnation of Elijah or whatever, you know, but I am telling you that Messiah is on his way.
Right. And he says that he replied to what his job is, the voice of the one shouting in the wilderness.
Yeah.
You know, that's what he gave as
his
job.
Which is what Isaiah the prophet said. And Malachi was similar to
that. Yeah. Make straight the way for the Lord also, mm-hmm. Which again is in Isaiah. And then they asked John the Baptist, why are you baptizing if you aren't Christ, if you aren't Elijah or the prophet? And John says, look, I'm baptizing with water. This is just a temporary thing.
Yeah.
And later he confirms that there's going to be one that comes after John the Baptist who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And of course, Jesus.
That's Jesus, right? Yeah, that's the Messiah, right?
Right. And then we have a couple the next days, right? So the next day, John the Baptist saw Jesus and named him as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin from the world.
Yep.
I mean, how big is that?
So there's an evangelistic decision there, right?
Right. Right. And John the Baptist was told by the one that sent him to do baptizing, mm-hmm. which this is an unnamed person or being,
yeah,
right? Is this God? Is this an angel?
Prophet? Right. Something, right?
Something. Yeah. The one whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining, this is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And then John the Baptist then declared that Jesus is the chosen one of God.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you remember Jesus' baptism, the Holy Spirit comes on him,
right.
Like a dove, you know, descending. That seemed to be only John the Baptist and Jesus saw that, heard the voice or everything. That was actually for them. That wasn't for the crowds.
Right.
The crowds were supposed to listen to John. John actually heard from God and Jesus heard from God, the Father, right there. So,
how cool is that?
Yeah.
So the next day, John the Baptist was standing with two of his disciples. Jesus walked by. John the Baptist again says, look, the Lamb of God. Funny enough, both of his disciples went and followed Jesus. And we'll learn later, John has no problem with that. He's less than...
I mean, that's the whole point. He's pointing to Jesus.
Right. So one was named Andrew, and the other one wasn't named.
Right.
Any possibility that was John?
I think it probably was John the Apostle.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. It fits. It fits the...
Yeah, because it was kind of conspicuously not named.
Yeah. Yep.
So Andrew brought his brother, Simon Peter, to meet Jesus, and Jesus said, you are Simon, son of John. We will call you Cephas, another name for Peter.
Mm-hmm.
So then the next day, Jesus sets out for Galilee, and he finds Philip and Nathanael, and they follow Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So Nathanael and Jesus, they have a good conversation at the end of chapter 1. Jesus tells Nathanael that, you know, I've seen you. I saw you laying under the fig tree today. And Nathaniel goes all in with that. I mean, it would be way cool, right? If somebody did say that to me. And he says, Rabbi or teacher, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And Jesus responds, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. So are we going to see this in John? Do we see this in Revelation?
Yeah, probably Revelation. Yeah. There's not anything in John necessarily that right. where he would that see says that. Yeah.
Okay. Now we're finally into chapter
Nathaniel
2.
Nathaniel would see that. Yeah.
Yeah. We're in chapter 2. And like you said, we barely scratched chapter 1. But chapter 2 is about the wedding in Cana, at least the first part. This is in Galilee. Jesus turns water into wine. John names this as the first miracle of Jesus. To me, there's a couple interesting points in here. One, his mother Mary was there. From other Gospels, we know that angels told her who Jesus was going to be. And in Luke, it says she treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mm-hmm. And she tells Jesus, they have no wine left. So she seems to have taken this problem upon herself. Mm-hmm. So maybe the wedding is a relative of some kind. And she felt that she, you know, had the responsibility to fix this. And, you know, did she think Jesus could fix this?
By this time, Joseph had probably died. And so right. Jesus is the oldest. And it's really interesting. The wording is really interesting. There was a wedding and Jesus' mother was there. And Jesus and the disciples were also invited. So it's not like Mary was invited. It's like she was maybe a part of it, or she was, you know, maybe yeah. she had that role and she needed someone to take care of. So she, you know, take care of this. And she told the servants, whatever he said, do it. Yeah. I don't think she's expecting a miracle. Like you said, John clearly says this was his first right. miracle. It's not like he had been doing a bunch of miracles and she's like, hey, make some more wine.
Right.
I don't think that's what was going on, but I do think she's like, okay, I'm in charge here. I need someone to take care of this. Please take care of this.
Right.
You know, now the way he responds is. Yeah.
So he like, responds saying, my time has not yet come.
Yeah. So maybe she's thinking, hey, this may yeah. be a good chance for you to take a leadership role.
Right.
Right. Again, right. I don't think it's a miracle that she's expecting, but hey, you know, you're supposed to be a leader. Maybe it's time for you to step up, small group, family, friends. Why don't you go ahead and say, hey, you know, introduce yourself as I'm yeah. going to be taking some charge here.
Yeah. I just that my time has not yet come.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. He's like, it's not
meaning, but I take that to mean, he's not going to do a public miracle, or maybe not do a public, or he doesn't do a public miracle at
well,
this point.
But again, if she's not expecting a miracle, yeah. right, she's not hearing miracle in there at all. But I think she does want him to...
Yeah, to fix it.
Well, to fix it, but also to step out and say, okay, you know, you guys now need to listen to me. You know, yeah. the whole wedding party, the whole thing. All right, everybody. Okay, Jesus is taking charge now. And he's like, I'm not. No, this...
Yeah, ready for that? No,
we're not doing that yet.
So Mary again tells the servants, whatever he tells you, do it.
Yeah.
And then I think there's an unsaid next sentence too. And that is Mary leaves.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. She doesn't seem to be there.
Right. But it's also, it seemed like she accepted responsibility for this and now she has given it to her son.
Yeah.
And she's walking away and her last words for the servants, do what he
do
tells
it.
You.
Yeah.
To fix it.
Well, because she's on to the next thing.
Yeah. Right. Right. Or it's a party. Yeah, somebody's got to cut yeah. the cake. Somebody's right. got to.
Exactly.
There's food. So Jesus fixes it. Now what's kind of cool is the servants do the work, right? I mean, Jesus obviously does the miracle, but it isn't a case where, you know, the disciples are, you know, here, I brought a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
We're talking probably somewhere along the lines of 150 gallons.
Yeah.
So you're not just, you know, you can't go down the street and get that. Right. Maybe you can, but
right.
It's going to take some time.
They filled these large purification vessels. It was used for purification water, filled them with water. And the very next thing is it had turned to wine. So the question right. is, as they were dipping it out, was it turning to wine on the spot? You know, so did he make 150 gallons of wine or did he make just what was being yeah. used?
Right.
It doesn't say, but as they brought right. it out. Yeah.
Right. Well, and I think the real purpose is along a sentence in there says, the disciples saw the miracle and it helped them believe in Jesus.
Yeah.
Right. So to me, it seems this wasn't for the crowd. This was for his disciples who are brand new. They certainly believed him and what he said.
Right.
Now he showed them a miracle and they have to be going,
Something is going, which
something bigger fits, than we thought,
which fits John's purpose of the book. These signs were recorded so that you may believe and have life, right? Yeah. They believed because of one of the signs. Now, did they believe everything? Not yet. The other gospels tell us that they were still figuring some things out.
Yeah. But, they should.
Yeah.
So it was time of Passover. So like all good Jews, Jesus and his disciples went up to Jerusalem. Now up to Jerusalem always threw me because if you look on a map, they are north and Jerusalem is south. So how are we going up? Yeah. But it's an elevation thing, right? Yeah. Jerusalem's on a hill or a mountain.
Yeah.
You know, I always say we're from Indiana, so Jerusalem's on a mountain. Anything bigger than 20 feet is,
yeah, it is a mountain right here.
Yeah. So they go to the temple courts because that's where everybody went. All the Jewish men went, and they saw money changers and people selling animals for sacrifice. So that's not unusual.
Right.
But what is unusual is they were inside the temple court. Usually they should have been outside.
Yeah, probably either that or, I think there was the attitude of how they were doing it and everything.
How they're doing business.
Know? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was very important. People are coming in from other places. This is Passover. You can't bring a lamb with you. It's going to get damaged or hurt or something. If when I travel to different countries, you know, there's currency exchange and everything. So it makes sense to buy my sacrifice there.
Right. Which means you have to have animals there to buy from.
Yeah.
And you also have to have a way to exchange your currency to
the temple shekels, which would buy the animal.
Right.
Everything is legit. It makes sense. In a capitalist system, I mean, this is what's going on. He wasn't against what was going on. He was against either, as you put it, where it was taking place or the attitude and how it was taken. Right. I mean,
there's a line, do not make my father's house a marketplace.
Yeah. Yeah.
In there.
Yeah. I mean, they were charging one of the things under the Mosaic law was that you were allowed to lend to each other, borrow from each other, but you can't charge interest.
Right.
What are the chances that they're not completely scamming their fellow Jews?
Right.
You know,
because nothing changes. So that's exactly what happens today.
Right? Yeah, the markup and the exchange.
Go to a foreign land and the touristy town. And, you're going to get a bad rate.
Yeah. Jesus was not, he didn't have a problem with what was going on, but probably the where and the how.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so he makes a whip, he drives out the animals, disrupts the money changers, overturns the tables, do not make my father's house a marketplace.
Yeah.
So the Jewish leadership questioned him, right? I see, you know, police, you know, and in today's world, police arresting him and him going for a judge. But when questioned by the Jewish leadership, they asked for a sign since he was doing these things.
Right.
And Jesus says, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it again. Which to the Jewish leadership was crazy because the temple, they had been literally working on it for 46 years.
Yeah.
And this guy's saying in 3 days he can have the temple fixed?
Yeah. So the Herod who tried to have Jesus killed was Herod the Great.
Right.
When he was a baby, right? Well, Herod the Great, one, was not a Jew. Okay. One of the ways he ingratiated himself with the Jewish people was by putting time and money into this building project. So this had been going on.
Right.
Since before Jesus was born,
right,
remodeling and making it better, and we see toward the end of Passion Week, Matthew 24, when Jesus and the disciples are walking out of Jerusalem, they're pointing things. Oh, that's new, and he's like, oh, it's all going to be torn down anyway. It's
like, Master, when will these things?
Right, yeah. So that's what's going on is that Herod the Great had started this remodeling project. This was the same temple that 500 years ago, after the Jewish exiles returned from Babylon and Persia, Zerubbabel and Ezra and Nehemiah were working on. Same one.
Right.
Antiochus had desecrated, Maccabean revolt, all of that stuff in there. And so Herod is remodeling it, making it pretty, you know, all of that stuff in here.
Right. But either way, Jesus isn't talking about this temple, right? He's talking about himself. And
John makes the note that it's about his body. Yeah.
Yeah, and then also that the disciples remembered it after the resurrection. You know, kind of one of those throwaway statements that happened. And then, hey, did you remember what he said?
Didn't he? Oh, I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Three more verses in this week's reading, and it's the end of chapter 2. While Jesus was in Jerusalem, many people believed in his name because of the miraculous signs he was doing, right? So now he seems to be doing miracles.
Yes. Right? So he did one miracle up in Galilee,
the wedding.
Right? Right. Now he's back down in Jerusalem, where he was with John the Baptist.
Right.
Then he went north. Now he's come back south for Passover. And what miracles is he doing? No idea.
Right.
Because those weren't recorded for everyone to believe, but he was doing them and people were starting to believe.
Right. Verse 24 says that Jesus would not entrust himself to the people because he knew people's nature.
Yep.
Right. So it wasn't time for him to, he knew, you know, obviously he's God. He knows exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But you could see people saying, I want to be a disciple. Yep. I want to be part of this. Yep. I want you to, you know, come stay at my house. And he was more, seems to be more hands off at this
part. Yeah, we'll get to chapter 6 later on. And he's going to give them food, you know, feeding 5,000 men. And they wanted to make him king right there. He's like, yeah we're not doing that. We're not doing that.
All right, so the end of our reading this week.
Yeah.
I hope we showed you enough in here that you'll take your time with it. Maybe pull out a study guide too, some commentaries, read other people's thoughts on what's going on, help formalize your understanding of this.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff, a lot of detail. And because this is a narrative, you know, there's historical context. That's the type of stuff that we try to bring out here that maybe it's not very obvious in the text, but stuff that actually matters, connections with other books, and like that helps us understand what we are reading better. So hopefully you find that helpful. If you do, make sure you drop us a line, leave a comment, ask your own questions, and let us see, or tell us, let us know what you're seeing that maybe we didn't mention, and we can do this together. And we will pick up here in chapter 3 next time.
Bye.